It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number two, and Tucker's Tape is brought to you by GoPSURV.com. GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience. All right, these are, we started last week, 2009 position in reviews. We did the offensive line. This weekend it's a little more simple, but not quite as simple maybe. We're going to do the quarterback position. We'll continue and evaluate all positions throughout the offseason slash winter till we get all the positions that we want to review for 2019. So the quarterback position comes down to two guys. I don't know if we'll talk about the two freshmen any way, shape, or form because they really didn't have anything to do in 2019. So I'll just give you Sean's numbers and you guys can go. He had in 11 games. I wanted to say that. He didn't play 12. He played 11. Mm-hmm. And he missed the second half of the Ohio State game, but we're going to say 11. 178 to 299, 60% completion percentage, 2,521 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 374 yards on the ground with 5 touchdowns, 2,895 yards from your quarterback, 11 games, 27 total touchdowns.
Man, it felt like he had more rushing yards than 374. I guess if you actually look at it, that's about
the negatives.
40 sacks. A game. Oh,
yeah. He had like 170 something in negatives.
Yeah, yeah. You're
the
right.
The sacks.
You're right. I would say overall, the evaluation for the quarterback position in general and, you know, Sean Clifford in particular is positive. It's a favorable one. Let's not forget that as of last May, certainly mid-April, he was Penn State's backup quarterback.
Correct.
And we thought he would be their backup quarterback this year. And I think for a backup quarterback, he performed very well. In all sincerity, though, being thrust into the situation like he was, I think what stands out to me as much as anything is just how he handles it. He just handles himself so well with the other players, with the media. I really like that aspect of him. I'm not sure, Bob, that there was much of a drop-off this year from what Trace McSorley gave Penn State last year.
Yeah, when I think about Sean, I think about the surprising running component, and he was pretty adamant, and so was James before the season began, that he was going to impact the game as a runner. And I think that when James saw that, that's when he knew that he could be the quarterback under any circumstance. I just think about how far Sean's come since he got to Penn State. You know, he worked very hard to get bigger, stronger, quicker. Obviously, the foot speed is a lot better, I think, than people realized.
Yeah, he was skinny when he got there.
He wasn't undersized. No. But he needed to add a little weight. Yeah. He worked really hard in the weight room to do that. I certainly think he can get a lot better. The one thing I think that as he gets more experience that he'll manage a little better, and we talked about it, is he just got too wound up at the start of some games. And I think that's good and bad, but empty possessions in against tough teams early in the game can be costly. But I think that he has to be one of the stories of the year for Penn State. I really think pleasant surprise really sums it up. I thought he'd be good. I think he exceeded, I would say, most people's expectations.
Bob, I think that's probably the best way to describe it, which is that I thought he'd be fine. I think he was better than fine. I thought he'd be fine. I think he's better than fine. And I know people debate whether or not it's a quarterback statistic or not, but he won.
He won.
He won a lot and did not kill them that often with turnovers. He won some important games on the road, and even in the Minnesota loss.
Yeah, they were coming back.
You know, they just kind of ran out of time,
yeah,
I would say. And it's not like he had an unbelievable receiving core. I think Hamler helped him quite a bit, and Freiermuth. I mean, that's pretty good when you have Hamler and Freiermuth like that. But I don't know. I guess I thought that maybe they'd get a little more from Dotson than they did. And I certainly thought they'd get more from Justin Shorter than they did.
Yeah, so did everybody else.
And even like the running backs out of the backfield, you know, those guys were inexperienced in that role. So it's not like he was just stepping in as the new starter. He was also able to break in the running backs. He didn't have Miles Sanders or Saquon Barkley mm-hmm. to throw the ball to. All in all, I think he had a better year than Trace McSorley did, Trace McSorley's senior year. Now, that's because Trace was beat up, I think, and there were a ton of drops and stuff like that. But I would say, I would say overall, pretty impressed. I think the big positive was he ran the ball so much better, and you said this, Bob, than I thought he would, so much better. And it was clutch, and it was critical when he did it. The negative is his awareness was not what I thought it would be. I thought you'd get less on the running, but more on the awareness, whether that's when to throw the ball away, when to not take a sack, when guys are around him, when to run. You know, I mean, there was multiple times where he slid like a yard and a half short of first downs and stuff like that that just kind of, I thought, wow. Because when you talked to him when he was in high school here on the Keystone Sports Network, we talked to him when he was in high school, and he handled that interview like a pro, like a champ. So in my mind, I just thought, okay, St. X High School in Ohio, pocket it's presence. A powerhouse high school, and he just totally gets it and stuff. And he did not. I do think that those things will improve the next couple years.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I've been dying to ask you this, Bob, when we're talking about the quarterbacks and Sean Clifford. Where was he ranked preseason in the Big Ten?
I think he was 10 out of 14.
I'm 10 out of 14.
11, and we talked about it.
Where would you put him at the end now? I mean, and you know the Big Ten quarterback.
I had an All-Big Ten vote.
Yes, you did.
I voted him second. I thought he had a better year all around than Tanner Morgan. And I thought when he played in the Michigan game, it was him really. And when I saw both him and Shea Patterson kind of going back and forth, Sean had a nice game. I thought he played well enough before he got hurt to be in the running for second team, All-Big Ten. And at the very least, I thought he should have been third team for all he did for Penn State. I just wanted to, just real quick, I know he's probably going to talk a little bit about Will.
That's okay.
We're good. But just big picture with the way that Penn State looks at the quarterback position, are we looking at an offense that's going to, where the quarterback run is going to be 100 to 125 times a game? Because if you look at the last couple of years.
Maybe a year.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Per year. Because if it is in the Big Ten, you just wonder how they're going to evaluate. Are we going to be a one quarterback team, or are we going to have to have two running backs kind of impact almost every game? Because it just seems the last couple of years, that quarterbacks have gotten beat up lately.
Right. Oh yeah, that's a good point.
And it's almost like attrition.
Yeah. The last 2 years, I mean, Trace McSorley was hurt. Stop.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
Okay, we're back. We apologize for that loud noise you might have heard the last 30 seconds or so. That was the fire alarm in the building going off, and we promptly followed the rules, stopped, and took a break. We're in quarter number two, yep. Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about Sean Clifford and the quarterback position that we're evaluating, and I could not tell you what you were talking about, Ross.
Well, the last thing I would say, we talked about the awareness. We talked about the running. I guess I want to know your guys' opinion. I know it's Tucker's tape, but as a thrower of the football, better, worse, about what you thought, I guess I'd say he was about what I thought. Certainly missed some throws that I didn't think he'd miss. And I thought, based on what he had done previously, that there'd be more deep shots and deep balls.
Deep ball accuracy, I thought, was something that caught my eye in 2018. I thought he was in very limited opportunities behind Trace. I thought he threw some balls down the field that were really nice. He threw a ball in the Citrus Bowl that DeAndre Tompkins should have caught that could have impacted the outcome of that game. He put it right on his hands. And I thought he did some good things throwing the deep ball, but I thought he also missed some deep throws that could have helped. There was a deep throw I know he missed in the Michigan game. I think it was after Michigan started its comeback. He then made a couple of throws in the Michigan game. But I would say deep ball accuracy is a fair thing that he needs to get a little bit better at. But some of the receivers need to help him too.
As for the backups, Will Levis, certainly I felt like acquitted himself better than I thought he would in that Ohio State game. Maybe not as well as I was hoping he would in the Rutgers game. You think that's fair, Bob?
Very fair. He said it himself. He said he cost the team 2 touchdowns on a couple of throws
right.
in the Rutgers game. I think Hamler was one, and he missed another one. He said they should have been touchdowns. The interception in the red zone, he said. I think it was Daniel George. He hung it up there too high.
So there's pros and cons of Levis. I would say overall, he showed he can be a functioning backup, which I think is especially important when he really would have been third string as a redshirt freshman. Instead, he ends up being the backup, did some really good things with his legs, and I think that would be a big part of the offense for him. I think we kind of knew he had that, you know, the size and the legs. The throwing was hot and cold, which is kind of what he is. He's not as good of a backup quarterback as I feel like Tommy Stevens and or Clifford were for McSorley. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, Tommy was hit or miss as a backup. I thought in a lot of ways Tommy and Levis were similar in terms of they impacted the game when they were in the game as runners, and they were built. I think they're built very similarly. I think Tommy obviously has a strong arm, but so does Will. But I thought that neither one of them really had a chance to distinguish themselves. When remember Tommy got in the game in the Michigan game 2 years ago, he had that pick six. That wasn't great. But I just think that when you're the backup, I think passing efficiency is always going to be an issue just because of reps.
The thing is that stands out of these two is both of them played, and it was almost a forced play on Levis's count because, you know, Sean got hurt. But you got both of them to play, so you go into your bowl game and then into your offseason with your 1-2 quarterbacks, now having both played and experienced legitimate, you know, starting reps and fill-in reps, and your quarterback room set.
Yeah, and as we talk about this, Penn State now has five quarterbacks.
Five quarterbacks.
They really like. If you want to do the math on that, it should be a very interesting
spring. Transfer portal math?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting moving forward, and competition's the key word.
And I would say the thing that surprises me there is that Taquan Roberson appears to be ahead of Michael Johnson. I would not have thought that based on their high school videos, other than Roberson playing a much higher level of high school football than Johnson.
All right, that'll do it with the quarterback position review for 2019 and Tucker's Tape from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick around. Your questions, his answers. Ask Ross is next.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.